Well, good morning again. How you guys doing? This group over here is doing pretty good.
Three of them.
The rest of you guys are still stuck in the polar vortex, I think. Or you just bought a vat online. I'm trying to decide which. Hey, as those guys said, this year does mark our 30th anniversary as a church. The Vineyard Church has been in Duluth for 30 years. It's kind of fun. And over the course of the year, we're planning to highlight like lots of different kinds of things and celebrate stuff. How many of you are really good at celebrating? Like you like celebrating? Well, there's a few more hands in this service. I think you guys slept in and now you're here. Like I need you in my life, actually, you that are good at celebrating. I'm not good at celebrating. I just like, okay, great, we did that. Let's move on to the next thing, right? And Brenda says, Michael, you have to stop and celebrate. And I'm like, woo. Can we do the next thing? And so, like, I want to grow in that. I'm not saying that's the way to be. And so, I need you guys. So, what we're doing over the course of this year is we've recorded a bunch of different interviews, and we're still recording some stuff. And I've got a video near the end of my talk today where we're highlighting some of the really cool stuff that God's done in our community. One of the big things I want to do today, though, during this talk, is I want to talk about just this past year and what our community looks like this past year. So, our staff put together a sweet little video. Let's play that, some of the highlights from the past year.
Goodness here on earth, God,
love watching Casey, one of our pastors, baptize people when she puts her hand on their forehead and they go flying back into the tub. That's like amazing. So our community here is really like focused around a very specific mission, a very specific vision. I want to just briefly touch on that. And then I've organized what I'm going to talk about today kind of on our vision, which explains kind of the purposes that we have together as a church. If this is your first time here, this is not what we normally do. This is kind of a once a year thing where we go woo and celebrate kind of some of the stuff. Did you get that? Woo. It'll get better as we go along. There you go. So let me start with what we call our mission statement. Honestly, we believe that Jesus told the church exactly what the church is supposed to be doing. We don't have to be super creative here. We just need to like do the main and the plain that Jesus told us. And so our mission comes right out of Matthew 28, which reads like this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." This paragraph, let me just unpack it for a second, has a kind of two bookend promises at the beginning and at the end. The bookend at the beginning is that Jesus has all authority, that he's the king. And the bookend at the end is that his presence will be with us. He will be with us until the job is done. And so what he tells us to go do is to make disciples or students or apprentices to Jesus, that helping people kind of learn how to live life from him. And the two ways that we do that are, number one, baptizing them in the Trinitarian community, which is more than dunking in water. It's actually to baptize them, to immerse somebody into the community of God. That there's most New Testament scholars and historians agree that baptism was like the entrance into the church. It was the entrance into community. And there's something about being involved in community that's incredibly important. I'll talk about that more in just a second. And then secondly, teaching these disciples to obey everything Jesus said, to actually put it into practice. And that's basically the two key components of discipleship. And so basically, here's the deal. If you'll, at the Vineyard, if you'll commit yourself to Jesus and be part of the community, like, we'll teach you how to do everything Jesus said to do. We figure that should take us the next couple of years. No, that takes us like our whole lives to learn how to do that, right? And so we've summed that up with a really simple vision statement, which is this. We want to be a community of disciples of Jesus who love and experience God, love one another, and partner with Christ to bring healing to the world. And that really does unpack the five biblical values or the five biblical priorities of a church, the things that we're actually doing. So it talks about community and discipleship and worship and ministry and then really being sent out into the world. And so I want to organize this presentation really around those five basic purposes of the church. So first of all, we're a community. We believe that God calls his followers to live out our faith in the context of community. And we see that way back at the very beginning. So if you look way back in Genesis chapter 1, I love the way that when God creates humanity, as he's referring to himself in that whole deal, he refers to himself in the plural. It's not just because he has multiple personalities. It's because he is a multiple personalities, the Trinitarian God. We discover that as we read through the rest of the story of Scripture, that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God said, let us make mankind in our likeness. And then when he creates humanity, he doesn't just make one. Male and female, he makes them. And as you read the first three chapters, you begin to recognize that of Genesis, you begin to recognize that God made us with a deep longing for community, for relationship with himself and with one another. He's the one that figures out in Genesis chapter 2 that it's not good for us to be alone. And so we read that through there. And then what sin does is sin breaks relationship and breaks community. And so when God's walking in the garden after Adam and Eve had disobeyed him, after they've decided that they know best, that what happens is they feel like they need to hide from God. Relationship with him is broken. And when he talks to them about what happened, they blame one another. Their relationship is broken. And their relationship to all creation, we read after that, is broken. And so God begins to work through humanity to accomplish his redemptive purposes. And he chooses a people for himself, the family of Abram, Israel. He doesn't just choose a person for himself. And even as you fast forward to the New Testament, you see that Jesus, as he's inviting disciples to follow him, he's also inviting them into relationship with one another. In fact, that's where most of the growth occurs, and that's where all of the conflict occurs. Even their moms get involved to kind of, you know, help them fight for position in that relationship. And then when Jesus gives an instruction to baptize these new followers in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it's again, it's not just a command to dunk them in water. It's a command to immerse them in this Trinitarian community until the very nature of who we are begins to change because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And so for the Vineyard, you may know that we welcome anyone to become a part of this community by attending a small group or weekend services or some of our events, by getting involved in serving in various ministries, by enjoying life together. Anyone and everyone is welcome to be part. And all of us are invited to become disciples of Jesus, to submit and surrender every single part of our lives to him as Lord and Master. So what does our community look like? Well, the size of our community. Average weekend, here's some stats. Average weekend in 2019, we have about 1,200 people attending services, three of them here and one at Eastside. 83 on average are attending at our Eastside location. 232 children come through our Vineyard Kids. That's a lot of children. That's awesome. That's a lot of goldfish crackers and diapers and stuff, right? Overall, there's over 4,000 people involved here over the past couple years. That's just the folks who like register for stuff. If you include all of you who don't register for anything, you just show up, that number is significantly larger. What is it with northern Minnesotans that we don't actually register for stuff? Our kitchen crews have had to figure out, like, okay, we got this many registered, that means we're gonna have this many attend. But you guys eat all the food, so that's a good deal, right? We're a regional community. Like when you put our addresses on a map, that's kind of what it looks like. People are attending here from 47 different zip codes. That's like insane, right? We have people, last weekend we did our survey. There were people born in 11 different countries represented here, which I think is pretty cool. But last weekend when we did that little survey, only 4.3 of us were non-white. Can I just say a special thank you to those of you who are here who are not Caucasian? Like, I am super glad. We're super glad to have you part of this community. And it takes courage to actually come into a space that doesn't like reflect who you are maybe and your values. But we just absolutely love having you here. That you are a necessary part of this family and this community. We need you. Yeah. And then, yeah, there you go. We're a growing community. Some 30 years ago, there were just a few people who gathered to dream and pray about starting this church, and it was actually just in a front yard, just down Arrowhead Road a little bit. In those early years, it grew to about 150 people. When Brenda and I came in the fall of '97, when we arrived here, there were about 40 people attending, and little bit by little bit by little bit, it just continued to grow. Today, there's lots of people attend our services. They're checking out for the very first time. We have anywhere between 25 and 50 guests with us on a weekend. Just because somebody walks through the door on a weekend doesn't mean that they're following Jesus yet. Last weekend, we had 39 people who checked on the little survey that they'd not yet made a serious commitment to Jesus, and 6 people checked that they did not think they would ever make a serious commitment to following Jesus, and that makes me super happy. It makes me happy because like people can come here and just check it out and begin to explore what faith in Christ is really all about. 362 gave us their information as first-time attenders. It's interesting, about 50% of us that attend had kind of not been going to church before attending the Vineyard, either never going to church, didn't grow up in church as a child, or had grown up in church as a child and then dropped out. We're currently here's another fun little stat. Personal invitation is really the main way that people find out about us. The majority of us attended because somebody personally invited us. And something like 83% of us, we saw in the survey last week, had invited somebody in the last year. That's really the main reason that people get involved in church and faith community, or almost in any kind of a community, is because somebody invites them to that. So good job. We're currently, as I mentioned, a community with two locations. We've been running an 11 o'clock service at East Side, on the east side of town, in the old Duluth Congregational Church right on Superior Street. We have an official membership structure. And so you can see survey results. We asked the question, are people that are attending a member, more than half of the folks who attend here on an average weekend are not members. But there's 778 official members. There were 56 new members that joined this year. If you went through Pizza with the Pastors and filled out the membership form and you joined new this year, are you here? Any of you here? You just raise your hands. God bless you guys. Yeah. That's incredibly cool. Yeah. Welcome. You should, the way that we do that, maybe you didn't even know we had membership, but we do. And the way that you would find out more about that is come to Pizza with the Pastors that we run every other month here at the Vineyard. And I'll even tell you about the secret members only parking. It's secret members only parking. You have to come to find out about that. It's really cool. It's like down in the lower lot. Yeah, park as far away as we can. Here's what some of the people have said about why they attend even in that course. Someone wrote, "We loved it here from the very first time through the doors. Each Sunday we experienced different pastors preaching and quickly grew to love the diversity, community, the equality, and the transparency. There's no judgment here, only love," another wrote. Someone else wrote, "At first I liked it that I could sneak in and sneak out. I love the messages because they were just so easy to listen to, but now I continue to come because getting to know people has helped me grow spiritually." Yes, it does, and I love the community. Somebody else wrote, "Our kids love it," all caps, "and I learn something new, mind-blowing, literally, every time I'm here." And again, someone wrote, "I enjoyed the teaching, the welcoming atmosphere, felt the Holy Spirit immediately. It felt like I had come home, and I sense this is where God was leading me for this time in my life." Vineyard Kids, we're a community with a whole lot of children. Like over 1,000 kids checked into, individual kids checked into Vineyard Kids this year from almost 700 families. And this year we welcomed 283 new families and 428 new children. 27 babies were born this year. Way to go, you guys. Woo, keep up the good work. We have a story from Vineyard Kids, and it reads like this. There's a 7-year-old girl named Harmony who attends on a regular basis. As she has learned about Jesus and how he is friends with all of us, no matter what, that he loves us and cares for us all, how he models what it means to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves, Harmony has been inspired to make a new friend in school. This friend is a girl with short hair and has been made fun of, bullied, and become an outcast because of her appearance. Harmony watched what was happening to this girl and committed to being her friend. She's 7 years old. It began with sitting with her at lunchtime, and then she hung out with her at recess, and now she invites her over for playdates and brings her friend to church as well. When I talked to Harmony about why she did this, she said, "I know how much God loves me, and I want her to know that too. God tells us to love others, and the other kids at school were being mean. God was asking me to be her friend, so I did." That's cool. Now as Harmony brings her to church, she's getting to know the Jesus that Harmony talks so much about. That's awesome. Yeah. Way to lead the way. Yeah. I think we could all be a bit more like Harmony, couldn't we? Junior and senior high students, the Well and the Burn, 182 students total, 52 new students this year. There's a story in the senior high that one of the students kind of led his family in extending forgiveness to the rest of the family. There'd been a falling out between members of the family for some reason because of a marriage that took place. The whole family felt kind of hurt and betrayed. It lasted for several years. This summer, that student felt Jesus inviting him to forgive that side of the family, and he spent time in prayer, was able to let go of the bitterness he was carrying, and then reached out to his aunt and uncle, and afterwards his aunt called his mom and apologized for everything. The family is now on speaking terms with one another. Yeah. Way to lead the way, high schoolers. That's great, man. At Limitless, several of our middle school students started praying for other people. They learned how to hear the voice of God, put it into practice. One of those students is now praying regularly with her mom on the prayer team. We had six students travel to Philly for a missions trip, serving low-income and refugee families. They learned that God's way bigger than they thought. Same Holy Spirit in Duluth as in Philly. Who would have thought that? And they were pushed and challenged in lots of unexpected ways, and they rose up to meet that challenge. I got invited to speak at a youth ministry conference, like 400 high schoolers. It's happening on Valentine's Day weekend, and I felt like God encouraged me to invite those same students to come along and actually help me do the speaking and be the prayer ministry team. And they all have nervously, excitedly said yes. And so we got like a team heading out to go do that. That'll be really fun. So that's a good look at that. We are also disciples of Jesus. Our main objective, as we've been talking about, is to help one another grow and become students and apprentices to Jesus. He leaves us with clear instructions to do that. Commitment to Christ is actually the first step. So this year there were 232 salvations where people like just acknowledged surrendering their lives to Christ for the first time. 39 of those were in Vineyard Kids. That's incredibly cool. Alpha is one of the ministries that's like a first step for exploring faith in Christ. We hadn't run an Alpha for a number of years. Now it's back up and running. 65 people attended it this past fall with 40 plus team members. The next session begins next week. It's January 28th. It begins in here for adults. And then the very next day, Wednesday night, it's going to begin across the hall for, somewhere in our building, for our high school students as well. And it's really a perfect opportunity. It's a safe, fun atmosphere to explore faith and ask all your questions in that. Here's a cool stat. Over the past 15 years, we've participated as we've tracked this in leading 4,470 people to make a commitment to following Christ. And we've been able to baptize over 1,000 of them. That's like pretty insane, pretty cool. This year, there were 70 baptisms. There was one event that happened in March. We were doing baptisms, and we always set up the tub, and we're doing it like all weekend long, and we had nobody signed up for the Saturday night service, and it was my turn to preach, and there was nobody signed up for baptisms. And so at the end, I just said, hey, we've never had this before where there's nobody signed up, but I think some of you are supposed to get baptized today. And seven people, as we talked about what that meant, came up and got baptized in their street clothes. It was awesome, man. Shoes and socks and everything. It was like, they got soaked. It was cool. We had several girls from Northwoods Children's Services get baptized this year. The love and support that these girls have received in our community has been life-changing for them, alongside the mentoring they received from the team at Northwoods. One of the staff was telling us about one of the older girls who moved out of the home and into a family home, and she is continuing to grow in her relationship with Jesus and now has plans to go to college, and she's found part-time work. It's excellent. We have so many workshops and training events that fit into this category that I can't even tell you about them all. Prophecy, praying for one another, spiritual warfare, financial management, parenting stuff. The list is really quite long. And there are a whole bunch of small groups going on. We've had anywhere from like the mid-30s to the low 50s in small groups over the past year. Over 350 people are participating in those. There's a map kind of showing where those are together. We did a series together, Does God Really Love Me? And lots of people were really impacted by that. This is really one of the main places where discipleship takes place. And if you're not involved in a small group yet, I would really encourage you to do that. There are four different kinds of groups, life groups, where we actually do share life together and we connect more deeply to one another and to God, building trusting relationships and learn to listen to God and study the scriptures together. There's social circles where we enjoy and connect with others who share particular passions. There's learn and grow groups where there's training and equipping to live the kind of life that Jesus invites us to. And then there's healing and recovery groups where we're pursuing healing for different parts of our lives that are broken. This is really the heart of the church, where we are really discipling each other and learning and growing together. We have a couple different ministries that are really focused on discipleship. One's called Gospel Wholeness, and we do a conference here every year that's titled that, and then we have about
Currently, this year we had 27 peer counselors who are working and walking alongside people, and they're learning how to receive the forgiveness God has for them and the forgiveness that He wants us to extend to others for all the different ways that we've been hurt. There's a story that one person writes, "My experience with Gospel Wholeness was wonderful. I've had a stressful relationship with my mother-in-law for the last 30 years. She has said and done things that are very mean and spiteful. She now has dementia and is a very different person. I reached out to try to learn how to deal with my past anger and bitterness and be able to move forward in a healthy way for myself and my relationship with her and my marriage. I learned that I'm not a bad person. I learned that I can turn to Jesus all hours of the day and night and ask for His help even before I'm around her. I learned I can ask for Him just to give me the clarity and answers even if I'm in a super difficult situation. I learned I could say, 'Jesus, you better get here right now. I really need you.' I never thought that was something I could do." And so she just talks about how she's let go of anger and bitterness and is actually able to look at her mother-in-law with His eyes and with His love. It's cool. Faith walking is another huge discipleship ministry. Some of us call it faith crawling because it takes us so long to go through it. We've had almost 250 people go through faith walking this year. Nearly 100 have taken like a next step. It's called 201. And now 25 of us are coaching not only people in this church, but other people around the country towards healthier relationships and emotional and spiritual health. That's all I have time for in the discipleship category. There's a lot I could talk about. But we also love and experience God. Worship permeates really everything we do around here. You might not realize it, but there's 130 volunteers who give of their time and even money to like practice their instruments, buy instruments, help lead us in worship, help lead our sound and projector at both this and our Eastside location in small groups and kids ministry, like in all sorts of different, and they spend so much time practicing and preparing to lead all of our various worship locations. 34 of them are new this year, and we have 28 people that just show up every Saturday night and Sunday to set up communion for us so we can celebrate the Lord's Supper together. This community has written over 80 songs this year. Isn't that kind of cool? They've written over 80 worship songs, and I love telling them this. I would rather sing one of your songs, even if it's really bad. I'd rather sing one of your songs than one of the top 40 on Christian radio, because I think God's given you something really special for this community, and we want to do it. So when you run into a worship leader, just tell them that. Did we sing one of your songs yet? How come we're not singing your songs yet, right? Just hassle them about that, because it's really cool, the stuff that God's giving them. We believe that God's not some distant being, but He's someone who's near, someone that we can experience. One of our worship leaders wrote this: "When I think about the past year, I think about there's been a lot of shifting, changing in my life. There's a lot that happened: change, heartache, a redefining of life and love, and thankfully some transformation. I think the biggest area where I grew this year was vulnerability and trusting that God's plans are bigger than anything I could try to comprehend. Leading from a place of vulnerability meant a lot of uncomfortableness and surrendering of the way I worship and am involved in leadership. Actually, the shifting in these areas led to really beautiful stuff, especially in worship. There's a lot of times this year where Jesus was ministering to my heart during worship, many of which happened while I was leading worship. This allowed me to intimately meet Jesus while sharing that moment with many others doing the same." It's pretty cool. So there are wonderful teams of artists, creatives, filmmakers, musicians, volunteering time and energy so the rest of us can actually come and experience the presence of God through the fruits of their work. I love our worship communities. And then we love one another. There's actually 195 folks involved in our leadership community that are leading all the different ministries here, and 665 serving on a regular basis. And these volunteers put in an average of about 1,200 hours every week. That's like a lot of time and energy. You might not realize it, but the pastors here don't hardly lead anything. Right? Pretty much all the ministries are led by you. And I love it when somebody comes to me and they say, "Hey, Michael, I think the church should be doing..." I get really excited. And I say, "I think you're right. I think the church should be doing that." And who's the church?
We are.
Some of you are confused about who the church is. Let's try that one more time. By the way, you're the church. Who's the church?
We are.
There you go. Like, you guys are the church. So when somebody comes and says, hey, Michael, the church ought to be doing this, I'm thinking, you're exactly right. Get to work. Yeah. Seriously. And they go, I don't know what to do. And I go, me either. Let's try it. Let's just do something. The moment that you begin to reach out a little bit to a friend, to a neighbor, to a coworker, to a family member, the minute you begin to do that and invest yourself in something that God's putting in your heart, guess what? The church is doing it. The church is doing it. And the pastors, you might not realize this, Ephesians chapter 4 explains it very clearly. Like, our job, there's like 12 of us on staff, our job is to equip you to do those things that God's placed on your heart to do. Like, that's what we're really all about. That's how we're organized. So one of those areas is like our facility team. We have over 50 volunteers that contributed 2,500 hours just working, and I think that's probably a low estimate, working and cleaning the facilities that we own in two locations. Many of them come like early or late night hours, sometimes in an emergency moment to fix heaters, air conditioning, deal with flooding because too much rain, that kind of stuff. Listen, they went through and they calculated all those volunteer hours with kind of the approximate dollar per hour that that kind of skill would come up with. And they came up with a dollar amount that they contributed almost $49,000 over the course of this year just in their volunteer labor. That's like almost our missions budget that they're able to like give back to us so that we can do the kind of church planting work all over the world. I love this team. This is a great team. Yeah. Joshua. So here's what somebody wrote. Somebody wrote, like, I've been doing this for about 18 months. I stepped out in one area of ministry and then just started asking God how he wanted me to serve. God said, go ask Joshua if he wants help. Joshua said, yes. He said, yes, right? One of the first things I learned was how much actually goes into keeping the building clean and functional. So for me, serving in facilities is not just, well, somebody has to do it, but it's a real part of how God's been shaping and directing me. I've experienced God in very significant ways while cleaning the building. For me, serving on the facilities team is an act of worship. Sweeping the floor, scrubbing toilets, taking out the trash seems mundane and not exciting, but I look forward to my time serving with Joshua and the team. That's awesome. Way to go. Prayer ministry. About 156 people have been trained and are effectively praying for one another up here in front on a regular basis. 26 new folks this year. We have a team called the Healing Teams. There's 81 people on this team currently who get sent out around the city to pray for anybody who calls and says, hey, I need prayer about something. Rather than us just going, yeah, we'll pray for you, we say, hey, can we send some people out to pray for you? And they're like, I guess so. And then we have really well-trained people that are part of that team that go around the city and pray for people in different stuff. Somebody wrote, there's a period of time in which I was suffering from arthritis in my hands. My arms were extremely achy. When I got prayer, I could feel the stiffness in my hands getting less and less, and then the pain in my arms totally went away. That's awesome. They prayed for 300 people this year, or more than 300 people this year. That's awesome. Our Vineyard Brew gave away 511 free drinks to visitors this past year, but only like 380 gave us their name. That's awesome. I don't know how that works, but good job. Good job, guests, getting free drinks. I like that. We had a couple volunteers that have been involved with Vineyard Brew for a couple months, so excited. They actually, in one case, she actually cried because she got to be part of something bigger than herself. And another in student ministries is really proud to be volunteering and learning a skill that's transferable to when she can get a job. She loves being a part of that and meeting so many new people. And there are so many different things going on here. Marriage and family, we have 21 marriage coaches. We have a marriage conference that we're going to be doing later this year with a good friend of ours, Kurt Attaway. It's going to be an amazing conference. Men's ministry, one of the biggest highlights for them has been our men's breakfasts. It's grown to over 70 guys of all ages attending, eating lots of pancakes and bacon, and then digging into some important conversations about what it is to follow Jesus. Women's ministry, we have a big conference every year, extensive women's ministry in small groups. College ministry, finals relief night in the spring had about 650 students, and then during the blizzard, we had nearly 500 students. One of the students said, thanks for caring for us during this stressful time. She had tears in her eyes as she was telling a Welcome Center volunteer how she was impacted by the way we love others. And then there's another student who comes to the finals relief night, brings a suitcase, sleeping bag, pillow, and pajamas, and stays the whole 24 hours. And one of our volunteers was talking to him like Monday morning afterwards and just kind of sitting next to the little nest that he had made for himself as he was like living here. And she was just telling him like how glad she was he was here. And he began to like open up about some of the hard stuff going through and going on in his life. And she prayed for him for a little bit. At the end, he said, "I love this church." It's pretty cool. We have a grandparents group that meets every single week to pray for our Vineyard kids, and they submit prayer requests to the grandparents group, and the grandparents are praying for them. There's so many different ministry things we could talk about. Then we partner with Christ to bring healing to the world. And this is like the last of the purposes of the church. It's how we're participating in the mission of God to the rest of our community and all around the world. And we believe that as a church, we're meant to be a community of faith demonstrating healed relationships, freed to love one another and the rest of the community. That's what the church is all about. We don't necessarily exist for ourselves. We're called together for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the world. And so we value being a friend to our community. One of the ways we do that is through Fruit of the Vine, our food shelf. We've had almost 6,000 family visits this year with 489 unique households visiting us each month. That's 37,000 people that we've helped to provide food for over the past year. That's pretty cool. We also did an adopt-a-family thing for Christmas to help give gifts to folks that couldn't afford it. 158 families were sponsored through that. We gave away 700 turkeys for Thanksgiving dinners this past year. 137 volunteers served in the food shelf. One of our adopt-a-family Christmas sponsors was buying gifts at Walmart, and an old acquaintance came up to her and said, "What are you doing with all these gifts in your cart?" And she explained what she was doing and how her small group kind of went in, and she explained how she was actually out of money, but one of the things that she really wanted to buy was snow boots for the kids in this family, and so that old acquaintance gave her $45 on the spot in Walmart to buy the snow boots for them. It's pretty sweet. I love it. Here's something you might not know about. There's a prison ministry where we send transcripts of our sermons to prisoners all across the country. It started probably 20 years ago when somebody that we were good friends with got incarcerated, and he just asked, "Is there any way that I can like get the messages?" And so people for the last 20 years have been volunteering to transcribe the sermons each week, and then we send them out to nearly, it kind of varies like who's incarcerated and whose addresses we have, but it's between like, you know, what does it say here, like 262 and sometimes up to like 350 sermon transcripts are sent per week to prisoners throughout America. This year we sent out about 15,000 letters and sermons. Here's a story on in October this year. There was a gentleman who came in to the church and asked to speak with a pastor, and Clint was getting ready for, you know, Clint with the cool mustache, was getting ready for a high school group. And so kind of they went into the Welcome Center, we talked a little bit, and that man surrendered his life to Jesus and said he'd been reading our sermon transcripts, and the very first thing he did when he got out of prison was to come to the Vineyard and meet with a pastor and give his life to Jesus. Yeah. That's cool. There's a picture of a check on the screen, and that check was, I told a story at one point, this was several years ago, about giving your life to Jesus is like writing a check where you say, you know, pay to the order of Jesus Christ, and you put today's date, and then in the amount you put my entire life, you know, 100%, and then you sign it, and then like that's like a picture of what it means to give your life to Jesus. I don't use that illustration anymore because nobody has their checkbook anymore. And so, but one of the guys, after he heard that sermon, actually drew a little check and drew that on his letter back to us and sent it to us and said, "I'm giving my life to Jesus." Pass this check on to him, you know. And it's like, it's incredibly, incredibly cool. We're also involved in church planting here in the U.S. Since 2002, we've sent out 8 new churches. There's several right around us, Silver Bay, Superior, West Duluth. We just think that, listen, every neighborhood would be better off with a really healthy Vineyard church in their community. People gather gathering together and worshiping. And then we're also involved in church planting internationally. We're involved in Mexico. We're involved in Kenya, Uganda, Turkey, and northern Spain. The way that Vineyard is involved in missions is we partner with other Vineyard churches, and we target a country or an area really for about 10 years together. And we regularly travel to those areas. So we just had a team that got back from Mexico. This past year, I got to go to Barcelona and teach at their national Vineyard conference in Spain and help coach several of the pastors there. And then we're also just a blessing to the whole body of Christ. You guys might not realize this, but my wife Brenda is a regional leader in the Vineyard. She's one of 16 regional leaders. She leads the Midwest North region and oversees about 50 Vineyard churches. My wife is my overseer. And then Casey LaCour is also my overseer. She's on staff here, but she's also and one of our pastors. But she oversees in this area about 7 Vineyard churches. And so it's cool. Those are 2 women leaders that are incredibly good and strong. And I love having them in my life. And then one of the things that I'm involved in, beyond leading just this church, is I help to oversee Multiply Vineyard, which is involved in helping all 600 of our churches across the country learn how to multiply. And because we're a larger regional church, many of our pastors and leaders have the opportunity to coach and mentor and serve in other contexts. Well, as you can imagine, all of that requires some finances and some money. I'd love to show you just a little bit of our basic operating budget. If you got a little time, you want a little bit more time? Sweet. It doesn't matter. I'm diving in anyway. This includes everything it takes to run all the ministries of the Vineyard at both of our locations, and except for like the monies that people like pay to attend an event. This year, we had 990 families contribute, and we collected just over $2 million. That seems like a lot of money, and it is. And let me show you. I'll show you in a minute where that all comes from and how it's all spent. But we appreciate your faithful contributions. Really, honestly, without all of us giving together, this place would cease to exist. And so our tithes and general giving includes what we put in the offering baskets, or, you know, our online giving, our app giving, our text giving. The capital donations includes everything that's still coming in from our capital campaign that ended like about a year and a half ago, but people are still being faithful to fulfill pledges that they made for that. Special offerings include all the offerings like Christmas Eve that we take or to various missions or church planting projects, our giving to Fruit of the Vine. And then Heroic Leadership Institute, that includes all the income from student tuition and kind of donations for that program. Other income includes the bookstore, the coffee bar, and probably a couple other things in there. And then our expenses. This is how we spent that money in 2019. Just like in our personal finances, the giving away part is the part that we set aside as a church to give back to God. It includes what we give to Vineyard USA, to missions, to church planting, to our compassion ministries, and then all the staff it takes to run those ministries, anything outside of ourselves. The pastoral staff, that's all the salary and benefits for 12 pastors, I believe. The operations staff, these are the incredible behind-the-scenes staff that really make everything function around here. When you look at those 2 categories, pastoral and operations staff, remember that's all essentially ministry, all the things we do as a church. These are the folks who are pioneering and leading and administrating and organizing all the various ministry projects that we accomplish together. Ministry and operations, those are all the costs involved with all those specific ministries and running our facilities to house those ministries. You see mortgage payments on there. Capital expenses, that's ongoing building, maintenance, development, updating equipment, some of the updates that we've done in Vineyard Kids. Heroic Leadership Institute, that's all the costs associated with running that discipleship school, except for the director's salary. The director is one of our pastors on staff. And then we paid an additional $300,000 on principle to our mortgage this year, which I'm excited about. If you want to talk about, yeah, you can applaud for that. That's cool. If you want to talk about any of our finances, you can contact the church office, contact the business office, and get in touch with any of our council members. As I mentioned at the beginning, this year marks the 30th year anniversary of our church. And so we have recorded a bunch of little interviews. I want to show you a snippet of some of those interviews kind of right now. I'm just thinking about like the, kind of where we started the last 30 years of our church. Here's a little video.
I don't know if there was really any specific hoping other than just being involved with people who are involved with a relationship with Jesus.
We were just in this place of seeking God and expecting signs and wonders and amazing things. We didn't get much, but boy, were we ever looking and expecting. More power.
We were looking to invite God and interact with God and welcome Him and follow Him, pursue Him. It was a time of change, and was it going to work? Yeah. Was God going to show up? And were people going to respond in a way that we would stay together and it would continue?
We were in the exploratory, just kind of, you know, we're hurt, we're wounded, what are we going to do?
So we started asking, where can we go where people are actually, like, meeting Jesus, feeling the presence of God, doing the stuff sort of thing?
It hit me that... that God is who He said He was, and it just shocked me. It shocked me. I mean, I could hardly talk for a week.
A group of us took a trip out to Aurora, Colorado, to visit a pastor out there, Gary Weens, who was part of the Vineyard. And he had been to Duluth and had shared, and we had done a couple conferences.
And then we rented... We called it the Little Church in the Woods. It was a tiny church on Arnold Road.
I look back on that time and feeling like there was always a place for someone to come in and find a home, find a place to get involved.
We bought the building in Lakeside. It was like our fourth or fifth place we had met, and we bought the building in Lakeside. Not long after that, our pastor resigned.
And then... having a year of pulpit fill, yeah, and hearing just all kinds of different people preaching, it was kind of a crazy time, but it was still good.
Our whole church budget was about what we'd pay the salary for one person now. I mean, we were running the whole church on just almost nothing. And you and Brenda came up when that was what we had, and that was the major turning point in this church, no question. We've just listened to and responded to and said yes to God.
One, I love the way when Jesus invites his followers, he says, come follow me and I'll send you out to fish for people. I love the way he takes what we do, the things that we love, the way that we're already made, and he reorients us for his kingdom. And as I think about like this next year, like the main thing, like we're teaching a series of messages right now that's just about how to live a life that actually works. And what we're doing as we teach through that stuff is we're talking about how do you just do the main and the plain of following Jesus really well in our everyday lives? Like, how do we do that? How do we keep saying yes to God and submitting and surrendering everything that we are to Him and allow Him, our Lord and our Master, to be the one who guides us through the Holy Spirit and leads us to do the kinds of things that He's inviting us to do. Like, how do we decide what to do? We follow His leadership. And we want to continue doing that, just like that, over and over and over again. And it's really interesting how over, when I just look at the past 22 years that Brenda and I have been here, how this community has changed, how it's developed, how we've grown, but we're still doing the basics of the kingdom over and over again. And that's really our plan for the next year, to keep saying yes to Jesus, to keep letting him reorient our life, and really letting him call the shots in our community and in our relationships with one another. And so, you know, I think Jesus might say it differently to you than he said it to Peter, because maybe you're not a professional full-time fisherman. But he will reorient who you are as you follow him. And he will reorient those things and make who you are and what you do incredibly powerful, that you become a vessel of his love and his presence and his power pretty much everywhere you go. And that's who we are as community. Sound good? Why don't you stand up? Why don't you stand up with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your presence here. Thank you for all the things that you do in our lives. Thank you for the way that we can look back and we can see your goodness, and we can see your provision, and we can see your leadership, and we can see even transformation in our own lives. When I look at that video, Lord, and I see the way I look so different now than I used to, I think of the way that I am so different now than I was then. And we can all do that. And so, Father, thank you for that transformation and the healing that you bring to our lives in so many areas. And Lord, again, as we kind of set out on this new year, we just turn to you and ask that you would lead and guide and direct. And would you bubble up vision and ministry ideas and things that you're inviting us to from every single one of us here? And would you give us just the courage, the ability to hear your voice, and then the courage to do what you tell us to do, each of us? And would you show us how to really continue to love one another well? Even in a year, you know, an election year, where it might be really hard to listen to and to love those you disagree with, God, would you help us by your Holy Spirit be a community who does just that incredibly well? And we thank you for your grace and your presence here.